Welcome to the Raf and Raf Rant. I'm Raf.
And I'm Raf. We're Raf.
Raf Farisco of the Far From Vesuvius podcast. That's Raf Pizarro of Calcio Napoli Club. Just rant about Napoli.
We'll just, let's go for it.
We're going to rant. We're going to match report. We're going to talk about the games. We're going to talk about topics. You leave comments and we'll read your comments out, question.
All right. Quick stats.
Yes. Throw the stats up there. On to a nice little segment that we're going to call the Beast of the Match.
The who is beast in it for the Napoli team? Let's see.
But follow us on Facebook. Rafael Rispo, Raf Pizarro. Twitter at RafaNapoli83. That's me.
CNCUSA26.
I want some feedback to the show. What do you guys want to see? What do you want to see more or less of? This is going to be a show for you guys, too. I want a lot of comments.
We want to rant about something. Let us know if you want us to rant about something.
I promise you, we're not going to agree on everything all the time.
We won't.
We're going to yell at each other every now and then.
Come and rant. This is what it's for. We want to give you a space to let loose so you can do it here.
Well, that's going to do it, Ralph. You know, were we boring enough for you?
I don't know. I think we were great.
Let's get to it.
Madonna do Carmen, aiutici tu.
And benvenuti, fellas and bellas all over the world. Welcome to another episode of the Raf and Raf Rant. I am Raf Pizarro, joined by my co-host, the Vicar of Vesuvius, Rafa Rispo. Welcome, sir. Welcome, everybody. How are you today, Rafa?
I'm good. I'm jazz handing with seven fingers. Why seven fingers? Why?
Why? Take a guess, everybody. Why seven? Seven of seven. Seven of seven.
No post game last night.
Nope.
So we celebrate tonight. Seven baby. Wins of seven, baby.
Seven. Welcome to everybody in the chat. Let's get this rant on the road. Thank you for joining us today. We got a special show today, guys, since we didn't have a post game show yesterday, as Rafa just mentioned. So we wanted to do something special today. So we invited a very special guest. You know him. You love him. Please put your hands together for the one and only, from Napoli Talk, Dom. Welcome, sir. Welcome.
Hey, guys. Pleasure to
What's
be
up,
here.
What's up, Dom? Dom.
Pleasure to be
second,
here.
Second cap, my friend. You were right? One of our first guests, weren't you?
I know. Yes. Yeah. It's always nice to be here with you guys.
Awesome, man. It's good
been
to have
too long,
you.
Actually.
Right?
Thank you for being with us so late over there, too. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's all right, guys. Man. I never sleep.
You know, we get a lot of viewers here from, you know, we typically go on around 7, and it's always going to run a little late, 7:15 or so. And we have a lot of dedicated people from England, Europe, Australia. Some people are eating breakfast watching our show before work. And some people are up to like 12 a.m., 1 a.m. watching us, man. So shout out to all you guys, man. Hello to Scoundrel Pill in the chat. Welcome, sir. We saw you there first in line once again. Gazzetta Campagna, 7. Cliffy the boys, our favorite Juventino. welcome, sir. Welcome. Catching up, you boys. Catching up.
Not really. As long as we win, they ain't catching nothing.
Catching up to 7th. Yeah. Nah. Today's show, Dom talks with the Rafs. So, Dominic, a lot has changed since you've been last here, I guess, right? Especially with Napoli, I should say. You know, we got Spalletti, we got, you know, Anguissa, we got these new spirit, if that's a good word, kind of a new, refreshed look. Yes. We're going to pick your brain a little bit today. I'll pick Rafa's, and we're going to talk. I think we'll start a little bit with yesterday's game since we didn't quite have the post game. Now, I was talking to you backstage, and I was like, I missed the game yesterday. I was out, so I didn't really catch it. The second half, I was driving, so I was listening to the game, but I wasn't watching the game. I was listening, Rafa, okay? I was being a good boy, okay?
Right.
I was with my brother Joe, even though he told once, you know, he had to tell me, like, Rafa, pay attention! I'm like,
full disclosure, I was listening to Dom's YouTube on the way home from work, so it's okay. I get it.
Yeah, well, I was just telling him, so I didn't catch the whole game. And I was like, I don't know what to do. So I watched the highlights probably like 3 times. I watched the one from Foot Mob. I watched the one from Paramount. And then I went out to Dom's show. And I was like, I'm going to watch Dom's show. He'll give me a good breakdown. So thank you, Dom, for all your hard work, man. We just want to throw it out there and what you do. It helps us, man. We really love it. So thank you for that. Thank you.
I love doing it, man. It's my pleasure.
It's good to have. It's good to have you here, Phenopoly. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, we have a beast of the match today, by the way. And I did ask Dominic. Rafa, I don't know. I mean, maybe you saw it in the DM. I asked Dominic.
Yeah, a little bit.
I was like, I want Dominic to give us the beast of the match today. So I think we'll talk about the game a little bit, and then we'll put it up, and then we'll get into the rest of Napoli. So I gave Dominic the honors today because since he watched the whole thing,
beautiful,
he did such a great job, I trusted his word. So we'll reveal that in a little bit. So coming with yesterday's game. Now, I feel like this was probably one of Napoli's most difficult games. I think Fiorentina did a good job. How did you see it overall? Like, starting from the first minute, kind of first half, let's start there. How did Napoli look compared to, you know, maybe if prior games?
Yeah, this was definitely Napoli's hardest game. And that's credit to Vincenzo Italiano at Fiorentina, a brilliant coach, and immediately put us under pressure, super high pressing, super aggressive, basically man-marked Napoli throughout the field. So, you know, it was a one-on-one every single time. And, you know, we had to really try our best to get out of those situations. And it was tough in the first half because physically Fiorentina were on top, probably also helped by the fans being there back to 75% capacity in Italy. So super tough start for Napoli. Mm-hmm. And Vlahovic and Bonaventura, especially tactically, they were getting in really good positions in between the lines. And it was just very difficult for the Napoli midfield to really cover those spaces, maybe, again, because of the fatigue that we've accumulated over the last few games. So that was the first half. Obviously, we had the goals in there as well from a set piece and the penalty. Right. But it was really just Fiorentina in the first half.
Rafa, do you want to jump in there?
Yeah. Definitely a high-pressing Fiorentina team. I think Napoli sort of expected it. A lot of people expected it. Again, going into this one, a lot of people viewed this to be Napoli's real true test of the season. And I think the fact that we lost to Spartak a couple of days before kind of solidified that this was to be the first true test. You're coming off a loss in Europe, you know. Last season in a scenario like this, we lose the game. I mean, if you're going to go quite literally, like I believe in this round, we lost our game after Europe. I mean, I could be wrong. I think I'm thinking of the first European game where we lost that and then lost to Sassuolo. The point I'm trying to make is that the approach that Napoli have, see, Napoli, I feel last season would have gone down 1-0 at the half. You know, they kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and they pushed to get that foul in the box. They pushed to get, you know, something going. And from what I saw a Napoli that was maybe just a little bit timid at the beginning to let Fiorentina come in and press. And then when the time was right, Napoli played their game. And in the first half, it came through. I mean, because then there was also, after the penalty kick that was taken, mind you, actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's talk about the penalty kick. I mean, unless you wanted to, I'm sorry, Ralph, you might have had it structured out. We could talk about the goal we gave up. We could talk about the penalty kick. We could talk about right before halftime. I feel like Napoli found their groove after the goal was conceded. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty much inevitable from there.
Right. I mean, you know, two questions I want to put out then. Do you feel like maybe the conceding the goal woke up Napoli a little bit in a sense? Like, was it timidness? Was it fatigue? I mean, we see Napoli really, I guess it's safe to call them a second half team, you know, not to like undermine anything they're doing, but it really feels like they're starting off, I don't know if it's slow is the word, and then just kind of coming through in the second half with this, you know, a little bit more focus, a little bit more of an idea of what to do to try to get that W. But I want to know also, because everybody kind of keeps saying it, last year we wouldn't have won this game. We've been hearing that more and more often. about Napoli not winning these games last year or the years prior, whereas now, you know, they're starting to seal the deal and close them out.
Yeah.
So I'd like your opinion on that at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one because I feel like if you were to play this game 10 more times, mm-hmm. it's not like Napoli would have won all 10 or 9 or maybe even 8. We did score the first goal with a penalty, and we're not going to get that every game. And to be fair, that was the first time that we even probably entered Fiorentina's half. So, I mean, the word inevitable was used about Napoli's win once Fiorentina scored and we started playing well. I actually don't think that's the case. Even the way we started the second half, Fiorentina started much better. Fiorentina in the first 5 minutes were still pressing. They were still playing their football, still giving us a lot of trouble. And we scored off a free kick. Now, credit to Napoli where it's due. We scored off a free kick, but we're not going to be able to rely on these dead ball situations all the time. If we hadn't scored that free kick, I'm not sure it would have been inevitable that Napoli would have taken a win from this game. I mean, obviously, we did have later on chances, but that's when we were winning 2-1 and Fiorentina mm-hmm. had to open up. But
okay.
At that point, when it was 1-1, I still feel like I don't want to get too carried away is what I'm trying to say. As in, we got the win, that's great, but let's not pretend like this was, you know, 100% in our control at all times. You know, I feel like we got not lucky, but we got, yeah, I
things,
don't know.
Things went
we the, got things the, that th- went our way. Way.
Yes,
things okay. that went our okay. way. Yeah, not lucky,
I can,
but things
I can
went
agree.
Our way.
Mm-hmm. But I can
do
agree.
Do you think it's like, you know, I always like to say, you know, a lot of people like, oh, we were lucky, but do you think that we create your own luck sometimes? Like you got to put yourself in a position to, so maybe some of that maturity, some of that kind of newfound strategy.
It rubs off, Rafi.
Right?
Like, like
if you keep trying, even if you're not doing that great, if you keep trying, eventually you'll get there, right? I mean, I feel like that's what we're seeing with Napoli.
Yeah, and for sure, I guess the free kick, especially that one was. Well, I guess both goals, but like thinking of the free kick, that was something that was worked on in the training ground. So you could say there's not an element of luck in us scoring that free kick. Obviously, there's a bit of an element of luck that we got a free kick in the exact area that Napoli prepared for that situation. Mm-hmm. The penalty as well, the goalkeeper saved it twice and we got the third rebound. Now, some can say that's luck. Some can say that's Lozano's determination. What I'm trying to say is that the line was so blurred yesterday between what was luck and what was Napoli, you know, having motivation. Because for me, I feel like if we were to play this 10 more times, I don't think we would win it 10 more times. Okay. It's just my personal opinion, but that's exactly what makes champions.
Yeah,
Inter did not win the league last year because they would have won every single game they played a second time around. They won the league because at least 5-6 of those games, if they had played it one more time, they would have lost. But the time that they did play it, they won.
Right.
And that's what makes champions champions.
I can agree. One of those games last season being Inter versus Napoli, I think if you play that fixture, I think it was before Christmas. It was definitely in the winter. Where Insigne was taken off and Mertens was injured, right? That game played again 10 times, you know, Napoli win it 5 easily, you know?
Yeah.
So you're right. You're 100% right. Whereas we capitalized on two advantages that we had, right? Even in error, but here's where I like to try to look at last season or things that happened in past, you know, recent seasons and this season. Do you really think last season, after Insigne misses a penalty kick like that, you know, the determination of Insigne to go get the rebound and then Lozano to come in and get the ball? Like, do you think that happens last season? I don't. I'm a firm believer in Spalletti is Gattuso times 10. You know what I mean? Like, where he's got the team focused. He's got the determination, and he also has the smarts that Gattuso doesn't have. I'm not saying Gattuso didn't have smarts. He was good where he needed to be, but Spalletti just offers so much more in experience, knowledge, and management, game management, that last season we may have lost this game. We may have lost a few of those games that we played against the smaller teams. So even in getting a win, not looking great, you know, when you win your first 7 out of 7, it's just inevitable to talk about how great we're playing. You know what I mean? Like, because we also didn't concede. The pressure that they put on us to try to get an equalizer, and you know, you saw it because we kind of tracked back a bit. You know, we were able to handle that pressure, and who knows what would have happened last season in that case.
What is it? 3 goals now conceded?
Only 3, yeah.
Only 3 goals for 7 games, right?
In Serie A.
Serie A,
yeah.
Right, okay.
Mm-hmm. That's the first, I believe. No, that's the second from Ospina.
Ospina. We're also the only, there was another fact, right? Only unbeaten team.
Only 100% record.
Only 100% record in the top 5 leagues right now.
Right.
Not bad. Napoli making a little bit of noise, huh?
Yeah.
What'd you think? Well, moving on to the second half, we saw, you know, the first half, well, Irvin Lozano, you know, with the rebound. By the way, is that Lorenzo Insigne had a penalty kick a game or two ago, right?
It's like, yes.
The same direction. The goalie tried to make the same save.
Yeah, the goalie got a hand on it. Yeah,
he got a hand. It was the same exact kick he did over here, and the goalie stopped it this time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Lorenzo flying in and trying to head the ball. Then it was another rebound, and Lozano just turns the jets on, gets right to the ball, kicks it above the goalie into the net.
Quite the angle too, if you ask me. Like he was on some angle too.
Yeah, that goal is underrated.
Yeah. Very.
I agree. I mean, the again, it's, I mean, speed, one of it, but also the acceleration, because if Lozano doesn't go that fast, I don't think he gets to the ball in time, right? Or at least it would have given a moment for the Fiorentina defender to either get in front of the shot or maybe clear the ball himself or maybe get a foot on it to deflect it or something. But I mean, we're talking about milliseconds of reaction time and acceleration to get to the ball. We saw it with Politano again from that. It was a few games ago when was it Juve, right? When
yes.
What's his name?
Chesney.
Yeah, yeah. He and Politano jumps right off the line to the far side of the net. I mean, gets there fast. We see it from Koulibaly a few times now during set pieces. It's like they must be being instructed to get to that far end, to that far side of the net, as fast as like somebody.
Can I offer one bit of a possibility of why that is? Like, I feel like some of these guys are left a little more open because the defenders now are double teaming on Osimhen. Like, it could be that. I don't remember. Like, I don't remember who and the number of people that were around Lozano yesterday. Dom might know more about that, but I can definitely see it being an Osimhen is here, so we need to get 2 guys on him, and that's going to expose one of the players. You know, so. Could that be a factor too, Dom? Like are the defenders like very focused on what Osimhen's doing, and should they be more worried about the rest of the team? Because obviously we could score.
I think in general that could be one of the things. But in yesterday's case, it was rebounds off a penalty, and I think at that point we had Di Lorenzo and Lozano that were on the right, and they would both went for the ball.
That's right,
yeah. And. I mean, there it's just about who wants it most, really. And that's the thing about Lozano. He's always wanting it more than the other person. If there's one thing about him, is his desire. So, yeah.
You know what? On Chucky Lozano still, we kind of refer to him and Politano as 1A, 1B, and they're like interchangeable. Yeah. Who is your preference to start on that? Like, if you had to pick one of those two to start every match or like to be the actual starter, Who would it be? I mean, I know we rotate them quite a bit, and rightfully so. It's a great problem to have. The amount of goals and assists that we have on that side alone between the two players, I think we're like double the numbers of Callejon's last like two or three seasons. Mm-hmm. So it's a great problem to have. But who is your preference? You rather start? So I have some of my friends who tell me, oh, Lozano should be starting every match and then Politano off the bench. It's better. Sometimes I hear, oh, you know, Politano needs to start and Lozano's better off the bench because he's fresher. And if we need him, who do you think should be starting on that side if you had to pick one?
So can I give two answers?
Yeah,
and they're not Lozano and Politano.
One for me and one for him.
I was just gonna say
two answers.
We can't escape this one.
If it was
B,
a final, if this was a one-off game, a final, mm-hmm. then I would go with Lozano start, and I think Politano can as a sub can bring. He has better stats as a sub than Lozano has.
Okay.
So I feel like if you need a goal. Things are locked 0-0 at a final. I would like to have Politano on the bench rather than Lozano. And we saw yesterday how Politano came on the field and absolutely.
Oh my goodness gracious!
He was everywhere. He has
that
this
one
thing
ball
about coming off from the bench.
Yeah.
At the same time, if I was the coach and I had 38 games in a season, I would be alternating them every other game, as Gattuso's like done, as Spalletti's done. Why? Because it just. That means that the opposition doesn't know what's going to come at them the next game.
Makes sense.
No one knows who's going to play. If we had Lozano starting every single game or Politano starting every single game, yeah, we'd become predictable.
Yeah, yeah.
We just give the other teams something extra to worry about. They've gotten out to prepare two different games down on that on their left wing. They got to prepare for Lozano starting, then they got to prepare for Politano starting, and that's a very different scenario from them coming off the bench because of the energy levels, the situation in the games are different. We just give them more homework to do, and that unpredictability I think is something that Napoli needs to keep doing. I don't see why we need to have a starter if things are, you know, 7 out of 7 wins, everything's going fine. Goals have never been our problem at Napoli ever, so don't fix a toy that's not broken.
Yeah,
is what I think.
Right. Yep. Yep. Perfect. Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
Michael Simi, Michael Napoli talk. Yes, sir. They're here. Salvador, something that is predictable. No one can handle Chucky without following him and getting carded.
I'm true.
With that, man. Those pacey wingers are we are giving so much trouble to these back lines. They're getting in so much foul trouble. But one thing I did like about Politano coming in as a sub yesterday was that I think personally he's the better defensive right winger. Did I say that right? Like, I think he can track back and help Di Lorenzo a little bit more than Lozano can. I think he does that a little bit better.
Yeah.
And especially when you're defending a lead, when you're getting this attack from Fiorentina, I liked that Politano came in the second half yesterday and was able to help on defense. And then you saw those a couple breakout runs that he had. I don't know how that.
Ooh, that one where he burned.
Just my God. It was.
Who was it? Who was it that he burned, Dom, on the right side? Oh, my gosh.
Man. Yeah.
Doesn't matter, but it was great.
Yeah. Man,
so many good runs and he really did work hard yesterday for us. He did.
I want to read this out, Gianluca Spoon. So now that with this beautiful take, can we now end the Lozano Politano Twitter debate? It never ends. It's true. We got this has been an ongoing thing, Dominic, especially between two of our friends, Dom Delgado and Mohamed Salad, who are constant back and forth with this. Dominic being the big Lozano fan, Mohamed Salad being the big
Politano guy.
Politano fan. So, mm-hmm. Anyway.
I think they're both also happy with the role that they have in the team. I don't think either of them feels like they are the sub. I feel like they both think that they're important players, and they, whenever they do come on as a sub, they come on with a point to prove, and I love that, you know, because they actually know that they have a chance to start the next game if they play well. unlike so many other players like Elmas. Elmas could score a goal in 12 seconds for you, and he's still not starting the next one.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. And we saw that. Whereas with Politano and Lozano, you know that if one of them has a crazy good game, they are starting the next one. So it gives them that motivation.
Elmas, I want to talk a little bit about Elmas. But before we go there, guys, we didn't do a Beast of the Match because, you know, we didn't have a post-game show. So I wanted to do one today. Now, I asked so everybody in the chat, I'd like to get your opinion. Today, I asked Dominic. I hit him up in the DM, and I was like, Dom, I'm giving you the honors today. You're going to pick the Beast of the Match. So he gave me his choice. I'd like to know what everybody thinks out in the chat. But without further ado, let's introduce it. Here we go. Here he is,
as per Dom
from Napoli Talk. Amir Rahmani, Beast of the Match. Dom, give me a few points, man. Why'd you pick him yesterday? I mean, he gets the winning goal. He had a couple headers yesterday. I believe this is his second goal from a set piece, right? I think he had one a few games ago as well.
Yeah.
But what stood out to you the most for the Beast of the Match for Rahmani?
Look, first off, it's long overdue. Mm-hmm. He's had a phenomenal season so far. Second off, you have to realize that Italiano put Vlahovic on Rahmani all game. He had one of the hardest strikers to deal with in possibly all of Europe. And obviously, Fiorentina are way too smart to put Vlahovic on Koulibaly, because obviously Koulibaly is going to put him in his pocket. Mm-hmm. But they thought they had a chance putting him up against Rahmani. And Rahmani dealt with that with just such skill. And, you know, I've never seen Vlahovic so quiet. So Rahmani defensively was great. He had a great intervention, maybe with 10 minutes to go into the game. He stretches that right leg and almost scores an own goal. But it's just enough to, you know, keep us safe, keep the result safe at 2-1. And just, as I said, it's been a long time coming. I think in the previous game that he played, after the first half, I think I tweeted this, and it was like, Rahmani had 100% pass accuracy and 78 out of 78 passes. The next player was Fabian with 48. I mean, this guy had 30 more passes than Fabian. And
that's amazing.
Napoli are not a team that plays, you know, just passing the ball around left to right at the back. He is someone that has taken responsibilities in the past few games and, you know, tried to find that pass towards the midfielders, towards the strikers. So yeah, it's been an incredible growth for Rahmani in the past year and a half, and just fully deserves it.
Rafa, you want to
give
your take real quick?
Couldn't disagree more. Couldn't disagree more. I saw Sal De Brita put in here Rahmaldini.
Sorry, I don't want to cover Dom's.
No, that's okay.
Go ahead, Rafa. I'm gonna blast them all because clearly they were all in a. They all agreed with
Tom's
choice.
They do. And I do. I think that his work rate has been phenomenal. It's not an accident that he is a starting center back, you know, behind in front of Manolas right now. I know there's a lot of chat and rumor about Manolas and where he's going to end up. Is he going to leave in the winter? Is he going to last, you know, through the winter? Is he going to go in the summer? Honestly, right now, it just, for me, Manolas is not playing the best, and Spalletti realizes that, and Spalletti knows that this is the way forward right now. I don't necessarily think that means Manolas is going to go in the winter. Possibly in the summer, yes, but I still think he's having a good time at Napoli. But, I mean, well-deserved for Rahmani, because this is what we saw with him with Verona. This is the reason we purchased him and decided to keep him there for 6 months to keep him playing at a, you know, at a decent level, and then brought him in last season, you know, and again, the only reason why he had a really bad start last year and everybody kind of, you know, was downplaying him was because Gattuso didn't really have the same kind of management skills that Spalletti has this season. He sees that Manolas isn't doing that well. He sees that maybe a change might be needed. He doesn't have reservations about making this change. He comes in and Rahmani just takes care of business. I mean, two goals, like you said, he's been stellar at the defensive end. Him and Koulibaly, it's like another 1A, 1B situation, Dom, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, I know, again, like I said, Manolas, he's been having issues. I pointed out in the last in the post match against Spartak that him and Medet had a tough time communicating with each other more than once in that match. But again, it was Medet in the net. You know, it could be that too. I still rate Manolas quite highly, and you gave him the beast, which is great. So I want to know what you think about this situation in particular. How do you see this playing out with Manolas and Rahmani? It's obvious Rahmani is the future of the club. But where do you see it playing out this season, maybe next? Do you still think we keep Manolas around? I mean, he's experienced. He's been to a semifinal in the Champions League. He's been on a good Roma side. You know, what are you seeing playing out between these two players right this season?
Look, Manolas will get his chances still. We'll still see him start a few games. That's because he is still a good player. He's obviously not the player we expected when we bought him from Roma. And we will need to use him when Koulibaly goes and plays in the African Cup. So we will actually get to see Manolas Rahmani. So we have to be careful with the versus, because at some point it could be and that's not something that we've tested out too much with Spalletti. So
yeah, not this season anyway. Yeah.
So I think, you know, Manolas will definitely see him. There's no chance he's leaving in December, not with Koulibaly potentially missing a month in Africa. There's no chance of Manolas leaving. Whether he will stay for next year, definitely not. His salary is the third highest in the club. We can't have someone on 4 million sitting on the bench. That's just not, it doesn't make any sense for Napoli. So he is going to go for sure at the end of this season. And I just want to add that Koulibaly plays better with Rahmani, because Manolas, him playing so badly, I saw it in the Spartak game, him playing so badly. I mean, he got sent for a hot dog at one point. Mm-hmm. He just looked so amateur. And Koulibaly had to step in. And because Koulibaly had to step in, then he's dragged out of position. Then Di Lorenzo has to step in for Koulibaly. And someone has to step in for Di Lorenzo. And
meanwhile, we're down to 10 men. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
While we're down to 10 men, mm-hmm. and it's mm-hmm. like, we can't have that. We can't have that. He makes everyone around him look bad. So for now, definitely Rahmani, Koulibaly. Manolas will get his chance because Rahmani needs to rest. There's Europa League, Coppa Italia, all that stuff. But we will see Manolas quite a lot, I think, in January. And then just one last point that I said in the live yesterday as well was that it's funny how Manolas actually came to life in the Spartak game. When things got a bit more like intense, you know, when the players started going at each other,
right.
Manolas, something sparked in Manolas.
He turned into a Spartan and shit.
Yeah, yeah. So I think when there's games that are a bit more like that, then I would put him in the mix, you know, if we need to like keep the result at, you know, 1-0, 2-1, mm-hmm. put Manolas. I think we can rely on him in those kind of situations. But when the game is like almost too easy for us, then he's prone to making a few mistakes. But yeah, I prefer Rahmani at this moment. Obviously, I think we all do.
I'm with you there. I think Manolas has a grit, has a bit of a Katsima. He's tough, you know. And like you said, like maybe that motivates him a little bit. It kind of like sparks a little fire under him and gets him going. What I really like about Rahmani, one thing that he adds that we rarely see from Napoli for a long time now, and I called it again maybe a couple post games ago, is that watch out for Rahmani during corner kicks. All right, he had his head on the ball twice yesterday. I think he had his head on the ball once or twice the game prior. He could do it. He could very well. He did it for Verona, and it's something that I want to see more of.
Last year,
I
want as well.
To, yeah, last year as well. Like, if anything, he maybe did it the most last year. I'm not sure if that number is correct, but I just when I think back, it's Romani that kind of comes to mind as far as getting behind the ball when you know on a corner kick and at least having an opportunity. So I really like that. But I do like the grit that Manolo Springs. Again, it's one of these good problems to have right now. And Vincenzo just said, I put it up earlier, about him being a little bit distracted. You know, we have to remember that, you know, that him wanting to go back to Greece was to be next to his family. It really was nothing personal towards Napoli. He wanted to go back home. He wanted
to go back
home.
And how much of that was rumor? I think we touched on this a few nights ago. How much of that is rumor and how much of that was true? Because I mean, for me, when you see Manolas on videos on Instagram and like during halftime kickabouts, you know, he looked really happy. He was singing along. He was like dancing, skipping to the song that was playing at the Maradona and things like that. It's like for me, I don't know if that's entirely accurate. I mean, listen, anybody wants to go home, spend time with family. Everybody wants to do it. And if that's a goal of his, then yeah. But how much of that is he ready for right now? I think he's part. In my opinion, I think he wants to be part of this, you know, emergence for Napoli. I don't know if he right. wants to be outside and not, you know, again, like I said, just kind of rumor and innuendo, if you ask me, you right. know, just to shake things up. Like you said, like we all touched upon, Spalletti came in to see this team and said, don't touch this team.
Don't
add this.
Yeah,
if you add whatever you want to do, but don't get rid of this team. The Husai wants to leave, fine. Maximovic wants to leave, fine. But don't get rid of Manolas. Don't get rid of Romani. I mean, not that he was going anywhere, but you know what I'm saying. The bottom line is, I think Spalletti is able to ensure the 25-man squad. Guys, you will have time on this club. You will have time on this pitch. I mean, look how much time Unas has played so far. I know five substitutions contributes to it too. But how many times did Gattuso not do five substitutions last season where, like, you could have put Unas on? Or you could have right. put – not that Unas was on the team either, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah, you right. understand where I'm getting at.
Right.
I think everybody kind of has their role on this club. 85-minute
changes. Yeah. I mean, what right. the hell was that?
Right. Everybody here has their role. You see Insigne coming out earlier, whether he's happy. I know he was a little frustrated at it yesterday, but he didn't play that well yesterday either. So that's another thing we have to think about. It's like – my cousin came to me and said, "Do you see how pissed Insigne was coming off?" I don't know if he's pissed at Spalletti per se. He just didn't really play that well. He missed the penalty. He missed the rebound for the penalty. Mm-hmm. Wasn't really a factor in the match. So, you know, it happens. What are you going to do? But the bottom line is, I feel like Spalletti has a role. Everybody has a role in this club, and they understand it. That's a huge thing for a club to go on and pursue a title. You have to know your role in the club and accept it and embrace it and run with it. I think Manolas knows his role right now, you know?
Yeah. It's good that you touch upon Insigne, because there's a lot of people that are, you know, talking about this. That could be, you know, Insigne not getting along with the manager. And it's just like, you see it 20 minutes later when he's celebrating with the whole team.
Sure.
Like,
exactly.
He's just, as you said, he's just obviously frustrated that he didn't get a chance to score. He wants to score, and it is what it is.
He's frustrated at a bad performance.
It's
fair.
I'd want him to be frustrated if he missed the penalty.
For sure.
You know,
you didn't see him come up and call the team squadra di merda.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we need to make sure that, you know, people understand that point. With the Manolas, about how true it was that he wanted to leave, I think out of all the players at Napoli, probably his was a real desire to leave. But for all the... So, for example, Fabian and Koulibaly, right? I think that part of... If I try to think about what's going through their head, I would think, right, I don't necessarily want to leave Napoli, but if a really, really good offer for me comes from some other club like Barcelona, Manchester City, I'll consider it. It's not like they were completely closing the door on leaving. But the right offer didn't come, and they happily stayed. And that's the key thing. They happily stayed. Manolas, I feel like it's slightly similar, but I think he wanted to leave just that slight bit more because there's that whole factor of going back home. I know that last year there was a situation with his daughter. And so maybe that's, I don't want to get too much into it, but I know that that could play a role in him wanting to go back to Greece. And that happened to be the week that he gave away the penalty against Sassuolo, and he seemed like he was super off and out of it. So there is something there with his family that I think is a slight incentive for him. He has a slight incentive to go back to Greece. So I wouldn't say it was completely false, but I also think that he's happy enough to stay at Napoli.
Right. I mean, why wouldn't he be? He's one of the highest paid players. I remember looking looking last January. I may have mentioned this before, and it's funny enough, like, I said, like, man, if I had to choose somebody to save on wages, I think Manolas would have been that guy because we had, but that's after we got Rahmani. I was like, I was like, if Rahmani could fill those shoes, Manolas would be my Manolas, not Manola, like Scarface. Manolas would be that sacrificial lamb for me. And not because I didn't like him or anything, because I just thought he's getting paid a lot of money. And who do I want to see gone? And all the other choices, you know, weren't it. So, you know, I feel like at the end of the season, we're going to see, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but we're going to see if probably a few people gone, and Manolas being quite possibly one of those.
I think he would have been sold if De Laurentiis knew how badly he'd be playing and how good Rahmani would be playing. I think he would have made the decision to sell him and grab, you know, another center back, and it wouldn't have had to be the starting center back alongside Koulibaly. It would have had to just be Rahmani's sub, which makes it a lot easier.
But they tried, didn't they? I mean, I know Olympiacos, but the offers weren't there. I mean, they were like $5 million.
But I'm saying because of the salary being so high, I think De Laurentiis would have still sold him if he knew that he just needed to get a third choice center back into the team rather than Koulibaly's starting partner. Because we started the season thinking we were going Koulibaly Manolas. We didn't know Rahmani was going to play so well. If we knew that, then we knew that we just needed someone for the bench. I think we would have sold Manolas and we would have gotten some youngster or, but we were too scared to sell Manolas, and we thought, oh, we need to get some starting center back because we don't know about Rahmani, but actually Rahmani is doing fine.
Well, and I think you touched on the fact that the African Cup of Nations is coming, and, you know, the top three center back in the world is going to be gone. So, you know, the best option is to have Manolas Rahmani because Manolas already, you know, is familiar with the club, everybody's familiar with him. He's not a bad player, and C, you know, you don't want to bring in a brand new center back to replace replace Koulibaly in the African Cup of Nations. So, you know, it is what it is. He stayed, whether the offers were bad, whether he wanted to go or not. He stayed, and that's it, you know. But definitely Rahmani for me going forward. But you have to play Manolas every now and then. That's the thing. Absolutely. You know, what's cool about Manolas is that he gets more rest. These players are getting a lot more rest now, I believe, because now we have the FIFA internationals coming up. And not everybody was selected. Fabian wasn't selected. Mertens wasn't selected. Who else? Well, Lobotka staying back again, too. I think he was fit enough to go, but he decided, or maybe the Slovakian manager decided not to because of the injury. So he gets to stay back and chill a little bit. Unas, I believe, isn't going because of the fact that he got hurt the day before. You know, you got Insigne, Di Lorenzo, Meta that are going. Koulibaly will go. Osimhen will go. Rahmani, maybe. I'm sure he'll go.
Yeah.
You know, Manolas doesn't go to the Greek. I guess the manager doesn't really pick Manolas anymore. I'm not sure if he picked him for this one, but most of this team is staying behind the rest, and that's huge going into this break.
And that's what I said as well in the live, that oftentimes when you win consecutive games like this, people think, oh, the international break came at the wrong time. You know, this team's on a roll.
Yeah, you did say this, yeah.
I actually think it came at the perfect time because we were running out of steam. We were on our last reserves. You know, if this was a phone, we were on 1% battery. And, you know, we just about managed to get away with it against Fiorentina. So we do need to recharge. And I think this break came at a great time for us and just allows us to have two weeks at the top. You know, just to feel good 2 weeks.
Enjoy it, right.
Bask yeah, rather than having the stress of the next game 3 days later, you know.
I was so hoping for an Atalanta win yesterday because that would have meant no matter what, Napoli would be in first place going into the Roma match after Torino. That would have been really good. So, but it's okay. It's okay. We're going to get back. Ralph, what do you got next, buddy?
I got all right. It's about coming to that time, Dominic. I know it's getting late there. So there's two subjects. One is from actually they're kind of both from the chat. The chat inspired me for these last two subjects.
I have like one that I want to get his take on also before we go. But let's get to the chats first.
Well,
we'll go to mine after.
Sure. And we can touch upon these quickly. We'll do another like 10, 15 minutes, guys, and then we'll get out of here. But it was funny. Salvatore kind of started all. Salvatore de Brito. Speaking of Insigne, can we talk about him always going to the left? I thought that was funny. And then Anthony Navarro had makes me laugh. Everyone knows Insigne's Tito Gita, but every team lets him cut it inside. My question to you, Dom, because he's that good. My question to you is Insigne the captain, and has he become a better captain for this team? It's my opinion that he has. It's my opinion that he's fitting more and more into that role. I would say it started last season under Gattuso. It started about the mid-half season coming into now. How do you see him as the captain? And also, do you see any little switch in his gameplay? I feel like he's a little bit more pass first. He's a little bit more set up the team first as opposed to like trying to go for goal all the time and, you know, tanking these shots above the net. But what, as fast as you can, I guess, you know, do you see any difference in Insigne and how much he's grown over the past, you know, this past year, you know, combining last season with this season, or at least the second half of last season?
Yeah, I think the moment that changed Insigne as captain for Napoli was the penalty against Juventus, the one after he messed up in the Super Cup, because he had a really bad month where he got expelled, he got sent off against Inter for like one or two months, because between December last year and February last year, it was awful for Insigne. It was 2 months of just horrible displays. Started with him getting sent off at Inter. Then he missed the penalty against Juventus in the Super Cup. And then we played Juventus again shortly after. And he decided to step up for that penalty. And he scored. And I think that's where everybody and himself realized, you know what? I am the leader of this team.
Right.
I am going to pick myself up. I am going to do this. I am going to set the example. And since then, Insigne has been incredible for us as captain. Incredible. And you see it even with his, you know, press conference. You see it in every aspect of his game, not just on the field. Yes, yesterday there was that little bit of moment with Spalletti, whatever. You know, it was forgotten 2 minutes later. So Insigne as a captain, since that game against Juve, has been a different man. In terms of his playing style, I really do think that with Spalletti now, we play more as a team compared to with Gattuso last year. A lot of the games we played, if you even look back at like the ones where we scored 4, 5, 6 goals, a lot of it was just individual players doing like really good things, especially Zielinski, Lozano, and Insigne. This year, we've got a team. And in this team, no one's really standing out too much, but everyone's playing for the other person next to him best ability. So Insigne is giving Osimhen those long balls. You know, Insigne is giving Politano those passes, those things. Everyone's playing around each other's strengths. And Insigne realizes that his strength is not goal scoring. It's tracking back, It's linking the midfield and attack. It's sending the right balls to the strikers. Right. And he's using those three things the most. If he gets a goal here and there, great. But we don't need him to score if we've got, you know, Osimhen firing. And I think it's better for the team for Osimhen to get a goal rather than Insigne. It's nice to have a number nine getting the goal. If I had to pick one of the two. But yeah, I mean, that's what's changed with Napoli. We play more as a team. And so,
I'm with you there. I couldn't agree more. And it's so evident how they're, I mean, it's almost to a fault at times. I was saying, like, sometimes they want to pass more than, you know, somebody wants to shoot. But I think that is what will take this team to the promised land. I think that's what I really, really wanted from Insigne. I wanted him to be the guy, the facilitator. Rafa said it when Patrick Kendrick was here about facilitating. When he does those things, we see a much better Napoli. Now, Rafa, I want to get into your question. I want you to spit it out because my last one is kind of for fun, and we can end with that, and then we'll get on out of here. But what was yours?
I want to know what Dom thinks about this. There we go. What do you think about that, Dom?
Is that the Europa League trophy?
That's the Europa League trophy, my friend. do we need to win this? Do we need to scrap this? Do we need to take it seriously? How do you feel, man? Because I'm telling you, like, it's been my – and Ralph, too. Ralph made me kind of see this. It's been my desire to really go far in this competition. As much as people say it doesn't matter, doesn't mean a lot, it's second rate, whatever you want to call it. This, if you get as far, how can you expect a team to go so far in the Champions League and not make it out of the round of 32 in the Europa League? What do you think about this, buddy?
I fully agree with you, man.
Yeah.
Look, I was so mad when we lost 5-1 against Benevento in a friendly. And you expect me to be okay with us crashing out of a European competition?
The amount of people with the garbage take, and I'm sorry if you don't agree with me, but it's a garbage take. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean I don't like you. I don't like your take. Garbage take on, scrap the Europa League. Oh, it's only the Europa League. Who cares? I'm sorry. Who cares? Nothing. It doesn't matter. Like you gotta play. In every competition, you got to win. I personally don't see professional footballers, going out saying, let's give it 25% this game. It's just the Europa League. No. And had we not gotten that red card, it would have been such a different story, not only there, but also if Zielinski hits that goal right in front of the net, even down 10 men, it's also another – it's a different game. So – So just chalk it up to we got unlucky, we got beaten, and we need to keep moving forward. I'm sorry. I won't settle, Dom, for anything less than first in the group, because the only other result I would rather have is out of the Europa League. I don't want to play in the Conference League. I mean, the Conference League too, though. Honestly, it's a European trophy is a European trophy. But my biggest thing is winning the group so we don't have to play in February, Dom.
Yeah.
Because in February, we have to play Inter. And those guys are coming right back from the African Cup of Nations. And if we have to play Inter, we shouldn't have to worry about the Europa League until March.
Yeah.
So that's humongous for me. I need Napoli to win this group because I don't want them crashing out. I don't want them finishing second. I don't want them finishing third. I want them finishing first in this group. Yeah. I want to show our nuts to the world, man. Like, you know what I mean? We got to show our freaking balls to this continent, to this world.
And you know what? Napoli I want to take the example of Atletico Madrid. Everything from Atletico Madrid started with them going crazy in the Europa League. Or back then, it was still called maybe the UEFA Cup. But about 10-11 years ago, when they had Forlan and Aguero, they won it twice in three seasons, something like that.
Yeah, they won it quite a bit. Was it with Simeone too, right? Or was it with Emery?
I think it was his first few seasons. That's what kickstarted Atletico Madrid to then winning the title twice in the last few years, to doing really well in the Champions League. They got to the final twice. Guys, it all starts with getting the right experience and getting the right mindset of, okay, it's a midweek game. I've got to be 100% for this midweek game. I've got to win it. And then I got to go back in, on Sunday and do it again in league. It starts in the UEFA League, in the Europa League. It starts there. We have the privilege that actually we can do it with teams that are slightly easier than the Champions League this year. But, I mean, us winning the Europa League, that will almost guarantee us to do much better than next year in the Champions League as well.
Right.
Just because of that extra experience, that extra preparedness of how to handle a competition all the way in Europe, all these things. And, you know, Napoli's not a team that can go out and win the Champions League very easily. Obviously, it can happen, but we've seen Manchester City and PSG struggle to do it. We've seen Juventus struggle to do it, and they were, you know, beating us in the league. So we know how hard it is to win the Champions League. This could be the one chance we get to win a European trophy. And for a club that's only won one European trophy, people that snub it, I honestly cannot understand where their logic is or what the logic is.
It feels
almost, the same people that if we do win, like it's people that say, I don't care about the Coppa Italia. And if they do win, the first to go celebrate and hop on the bandwagon. And it's just like, guys,
it's a little bit pretentious. And you, I saw, and Dom, I saw your, you know, it wasn't the last one, but the one prior, post game match. And you did say that about, you know, how this might be the only competition right now at the moment with this Napoli. UEL could be the only European competition that we can probably go deep and actually achieve something. I mean, realistically, Champions League, it's a bit of a far-fetched idea. Thank you for showing everybody, reminding everybody what the trophy looks like.
That's going to stay right there until the end of this season.
That's all a
right.
Beautiful trophy.
I'm loving it. Loving it. Where'd you get it, Rafa? Tell everybody.
I tell you, man. So this thing was like $40, okay?
$40, right.
I thought I was buying like a, not a replica size, but a good size trophy for like my desk here, right? Turns out it was just a little magnet. And I was like, what? What is this? Even though I was like, you know what? It's really cool. It's really cool. I had just bought a like sort of like a desk size European Cup trophy for Italy's win. So I was like, oh, cool. I saw the Europa League one. I was like, I need to get this because this is our one trophy. You know, we're in it. And I'm sorry. 100%. I'm with Dom and Ralph. I'm with you. 100%. We got to win this trophy. We got to go out to win this trophy. Now, while the competition has gotten a lot tougher, being from going from a 48 team to a 32 team competition, the groups, I mean, you could see the groups. They're like almost Champions League groups. Some of them actually could have been a Champions League group a couple of years ago. But they're very tough, and the field's gotten shorter, and the stakes have changed, I feel. So in the season that the competition actually weeds out 12 teams that are like not deserving to be in a European competition, we have the best chance to win. We have one of the best teams in the whole competition. Like it's pretty incredible to think about that. You know what I mean? Like, cause when you think about the teams out in Europe, they're so tough, they're so determined, and they're so willing to win. For us to have the best team in the competition, like, speaks a lot, and we need to take advantage of that. Also, I just checked up on Atletico Madrid. It was the first season that it was renamed the Europa League, is the season that they won, and their manager was Kike Sanchez Flores. It wasn't Simeone, but like you said, they won two of those. They ended up winning three of those, two like you said in three seasons, and two Champions League finals, two La Liga titles in this era of Barcelona, Real Madrid.
Quarterfinals, semifinals, sure. Other years.
Regulars in the competition going deep. You got to start somewhere, man. And this is our time. This is it. This is our time. Because, you know.
I'm getting goosebumps, man.
Yeah. Right? This is it. This is it.
Like, what Napoli, else do we need?
Essentially, Napoli is, okay, under ADL's era, it's a 16-year-old club. It's still a relatively young club, and you know, besides the history behind it, but when ADL came in, everything was brand new. So coming into this situation at a 15, 16-year-old club, essentially, you know, you've got real chances to win European trophies. And the you know, the furthest we went is a semifinal in 15, but we got to get past that hump. We got to get back to that. If we can get to a semifinal, even if it is the semifinal and we get knocked out, but push for the Scudetto too, possibly win Coppa Italia. I mean, come on, that's a successful season, and we need to have more of those. We need to show what we can do.
Also, because I feel like the season would be a success if we win the Europa League, and for some reason we don't go all the way. If we finish second, let's say, in Italy, but we win the Europa League, I would still consider this season a success, even though we started so well and we have such high expectations. I feel like a European Cup, you have to write that down as a successful season.
100%. 100%.
Guys, I'm with all of it. I'm with you here, all of it. You know how I felt. I really wanted... I mean, it's funny. I switched up slightly. I still want to possibly win the Europa League, or at the very least go deep, and certainly at the very least qualify above all for Champions League. But I've been really, really wanting that Scudetto.
Who doesn't?
This year more. I know, but Rafa, I said I would be fine with top four and a EL... But if I had to choose, I would probably say Scudetto and deeper in EL, maybe not quite winning it, but maybe going to the final four. I don't know what I'm a little bit torn. But
well, I mean, if I had to choose, I think we all would as well.
I certainly don't want to do what we did in 17-18 and completely tank the rest of the competitions.
No.
To get there and then not get there. We can't have that. Right. We can't have that. Let me just tell you, we went top of the league in week four in 17-18 after winning our first eight, right? We went undefeated in 14, and our first loss, we lost the top of the league, right? In week 14. 2 weeks later, we got back. And we spent a total of, I think it was like 24 or 25 weeks in first place and didn't win the fucking Scudetto. And it's also has to do with the fact that we completely tanked in these European competitions. That doesn't give you a winning mentality. Winning mentality is created by going out there and winning, trying to win everything. And if we don't, we don't. But we gave it our all in every competition. Right. I don't want to crash out of the Coppa Italia. I don't want to crash out of Europa League. And I want to go as far as we can in every competition, especially now that we have the depth to do it. Come on, let's do it.
And it puts a lot of pressure on the Serie A. If all of a sudden we decide to, you know, not pay attention to the Europa League, then we can't, you know, we can't say, oh, well, we never really wanted to win the Serie A, or no. Like, it puts so much more pressure on winning the Serie A if you tank the Europa League.
Right.
No, absolutely. And Italy just can't afford to bow out of these competitions. I mean, lately our reputation has not been that good in the European theater. So I think this is all around good for Italian soccer, not just Napoli, but all around good for Italian soccer. But I'm gonna put some closing music, guys. We did reach the hour mark. I don't want to keep Dama much longer. I know he's out there late, so we appreciate it. I will put a banner for you here, Dominic Fine Dom, at Napoli Talk, right? Is there any other that I should be putting up?
Yeah, that's the Twitter and YouTube. There's the Instagram as well, official Napoli Talk, because someone took Napoli Talk from me.
Really?
Yeah. Bastards. Yeah. I did the YouTube, and then a few months later, someone took Napoli Talk on Instagram.
That's foul. Are they? Yeah. Is it active?
Yeah, it is. It's in Italian, so it's not someone who like speaks English or anything.
Oh, it's can't they do like Napoli Parla or something like that?
Fair play. They've got a good chat. They've got also a good Instagram, so at least they're respecting the name.
All right, all right. Put some respect on the Napoli talk name. Damn right, guys.
Ralphie, yeah, you had one more point though.
I did. I was just gonna. We'll just do it as we wrap up here because I thought it was kind of funny. You know what? It's Paki Esposito says, "What do you think of the fact that everybody snubs us as a contender for the Scudetto?" I've been talking a lot of shit, Dom, and I've been saying that I feel like we should be in this conversation. I'm not saying we will win, but I just feel like we are one of the teams that can win. And we need to be speaking. And I'm not, you know what, Rafa? And I thought, Rafa, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it live here. I'm not subscribing to the superstition stuff anymore. I'm not going to do it. I give up. I give up superstition. It has. The first day I put this phone back on. Give me a second.
Here's the deal. Okay, I'll here's the deal. Napoli have been in the discussion for the Scudetto this season. Am I right, Dom? I mean, you can't not say Napoli are not in the running for the Scudetto. 7 wins in 7, only on the only 100% team. I think we have to win one more to tie PSG's. That's okay. But I was just saying, Ralph, right now we are in the talk. We are in the conversation. But it's people like you and a couple of other guys who had us winning it from the beginning of the season and without even a ball being kicked. And so? I think that's a little much. Like,
oh,
I can't.
Come on. We could do it for Inter. We could do it. You had Juve winning, for crying out loud. How did that work out?
I had Juve. No. I had Inter winning.
What is it going to take? No, I don't subscribe to the superstition anymore. It hasn't been working. We've been superstitious. We've been holding our tongues and we haven't won shit. Superstition does not work. It's time we have a better and bigger and stronger mentality and say, let's go get this thing. We could do it. I didn't say we will win. I said we can do it, though. I said we got what we need. I feel like this is the team this year. With the coach, we got all the pieces. I don't care about the whole left back thing. I feel like we got what we need. Let's just take this competition, grab it by the horns, and let's go.
Dom, are we going to win the Scudetto?
I think my mic stopped working, guys.
See what I mean, Ralph?
I don't care. I will die on this hill. I am going to die.
No. Hey, listen.
On this hill.
It's all good, man. It's all good. And when we win, and if we win, you can gloat all you want. But we're all going to be partying. We'll all be partying.
I'm taking a risk. You know, it's like you buy in early, you buy in a little cheap, and then later, you know. Thank you. Let's get a big Forza Napoli going on. Too many studs on the one screen.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Cracking. Agreed. Stopping there. Time to think like winners. I'm with this. Zach, we got this. I like
guys,
that, Ralph. I'm with you.
Come on, guys.
See some people. Come on. Let's have a little hope. Little Forza Napoli.
Come on, guys.
Man, we appreciate
we got to beat Milan. We got to beat Inter. Mm.
I know we got to be the big teams. I think I will be validated a little bit more after, you know, we face a Roma.
I'll tell you what, though.
I'm not scared of Inter.
No.
I'm not scared
no,
of them. They
I'm very,
impre- on us last year.
I'm very impressed at our win this weekend. We came out of adversity, losing. Our mentality could have went right to shit if it wanted to. But we came out, you know, we got the job done. No matter how we did it, we got it done. We're scoring goals from set pieces, which is blowing my mind. We're defending well, which we always normally do, but we're not making those little tiny little mistakes that we used to. So that's a big factor for me, but we got to keep it going. We have a tough game against Torino. We have an even tougher game against Roma. That's going to be a lot of fun, by the way. Then we have Bologna, who just beat Lazio 3-0. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be very crazy. And we can do it. I'm just saying. You got to keep it composed. Keep it going. Keep it going.
Agreed. Guys, we're going to get on out of here. Big thank you again to Dom from Napoli Talk. Be sure to catch him out every post game. Does a wonderful job live, guys. Thank you again so much for all your content.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you to everybody in the chat who stuck with us tonight. Give us a big like. Give us a subscribe. Share us. Man, help the page grow. We are your official Napoli content creators. All of us in here and a few others. Support the cause so we can grow as a community along with you. 7 out of 7, baby. LNAP the people in the house. That's right, LNAP. You can see, bro. But anyway, Rafa, great show. It's been a pleasure, everybody, guys. We're going to get out of here. We'll see you again for the next show. Until next time, Forza Napoli, everybody. Ciao, ciao, ciao.
Ciao for now, guys. Ciao. Ciao.